Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for coming. My name is Dave Rosselli. I'm the Vice President of Advancement at Baylor, and we are thrilled to be here. You have to know that when we get away from campus and come out and see our parents and alumni and friends, we get rejuvenated and excited, and we are as thrilled to see you as I'm sure you are to see a team of people coming down here from Baylor. So just know that. It energizes us, and it's exciting to be here, particularly in Nashville, where we have a huge crew and a large contingent of alums, probably a larger contingent of alums than a lot of the places that we go. We know that. So tonight, we're going to have a conversation with the president, and this will be interactive. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions and converse about anything that's on your mind. I do want to introduce a few folks, because we have a pretty large crew that are here from campus. So if you would stand when I introduce you, and I'll call out our team members. Hunter Haston is with our admissions team. Hunter's raising his hand in the back. And so if any of you prospective students or parents have a question, actually, how many prospective parents or students are in the room? Okay, there's a few of you. Great. If you have any questions that are admissions related, then Hunter is in the back. Josh Sims is in the back raising his hand. Josh is here along with John. John, where are you? There's John. And those two are kind of tag teaming in this region along with Jamie Ewens. Jamie is a regional officer. Josh Sims is a regional officer. They are here to kind of work this territory to make sure that we interact with you on a regular basis and service your needs. So if you have any questions about anything related to Baylor and Nashville, that team of folks will help you out. Also, we have our crew that have been on the road with us with the conversation series, Teresa Mellon. Teresa's with our institutional events team. David Lechner with our IT team in the back. And then also Gail Afringa. Gail is with our parent programs. And Gail is here, and she travels around the country with our parent prayer network. And that's something that's thriving here as well. So that's our team. And then I'm going to introduce our featured guest here in a minute. Before I do that, I would like to call up Bill Sherman. Bill is a 1954 graduate of Baylor and a pastor, still a pastor here at First Baptist Church, and he's going to lead us in a word of prayer. So, Bill, if you wouldn't mind coming up and leading us.
Our Father, we're very thankful to have the privilege of gathering today, and we're thankful for the university that shapes so much of our lives. We went to Baylor to get a degree, but actually what we received was an education for life. And as we look back, one of the shaping influences of all our lives were the professors and our peers and the purpose for which the school was founded. Help us to be supportive of this fine university. We're thankful for Dr. Livingston, for all the administration, the professors, and we pray the presence of your spirit in this meeting tonight. In the Savior's name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Would like to thank our hosts tonight, the Deckers and the Mosleys. Thank you for hosting us here at the Country Club. Very gracious of you to do so. And at this time, I would like to introduce our host for the evening, Jason Cook. Jason, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium. Jason is our Vice President of Marketing and Communications, and Jason has been with us since December of 2016. If you have heard of the Lights marketing program that we have been focused on over the last couple of years, Jason is, and his team have been the masterminds behind that. Lights shine bright. We have a new academic strategic plan that we'll be talking about called Illuminate. A lot of this thinking has come from the creativity of this man right here, Jason Cook. So we're thrilled to have Jason as a man of faith and has been an incredible addition to our team. So let's give a round of applause to Jason Cook.
Thank you.
And then our 15th president, Dr. Linda Livingstone. Dr. Livingstone has been a breath of fresh air for Baylor University. She came on board in the summer of 2017, and within a couple of weeks was on the road and has been on the road, it seems like, ever since, with either these types of conversation series or small gatherings with some of you folks here in this room. Nashville was one of the first stops. In fact, within the first 30 days, we had the president out on a national tour, and it just seems like it has continued on and on. One thing you should know, I know you know a lot about her. You know that she was at Baylor before coming back to take on the presidency for a long time as a faculty member and as an administrator, then went on to become a dean at a couple of other institutions, Pepperdine and George Washington. But one thing that she's committed to doing, and that's to come out and spend time with parents, alumni, and friends. And she has demonstrated that over and over again here in these first 15 months as president. So we're thrilled to have her. Please join me in welcoming our 15th president, Dr. Linda.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, Jeff Mosley, where are you? Come on up, Jeff. Jeff has a special presentation that he is going to unveil for us tonight. So, Jeff, I'm going to hand this microphone over to you, and you can kind of walk us through this, if you would.
Well, first of all, welcome to Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you so much.
I think at least for your second time.
Yeah.
So I'm just here to represent a few people that got together and want to kind of show our gratitude for everything that Baylor has done for us and for our kids. And so we'd like to present you with a check for $35,000 from the Greater Nashville Friends of Baylor.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. And I think you want to take a picture, right? So, Bill, Richard.
Why don't you come on up, and we'll get up on the podium, and we'll take...
Those of you that helped contribute financially, everybody contributed...
There are six families, I think, that were participating in this, so if you wouldn't...
No,
thank you.
So how do you want to do that, on the platform? Yeah, let me take this for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. So John Sisk and Josh Sims, the two that I introduced just a minute ago, they have these envelopes and little cards that outline the backdrop of the Greater Nashville Endowed Scholarship Program. So if anyone's interested in participating in that, you can see either John or Josh, and they have these envelopes and pledge cards. So now I turn things over to Jason, and we introduce you to our conversation series. Jason?
Thank you very much, Dave, and I'm struck by the size of that check, not only in terms of the amount, but how in the world are we going to get that in the overhead bin?
I don't know how that's going to fit on the airplane.
Yes.
We'll have to think about that.
You bet. It's actually.
But I will try really hard to get that one home. So.
It's good to actually talk to you. We were on the plane today. We were sending text messages back and forth at 30,000 feet. So it's good to see you.
It is. Good. Yeah, good to catch up.
We have been all over the country as part of our Baylor Conversation Series. Last night we were in San Diego. We've been all across Texas. We've been in D.C. We've been, I'm starting to lose track. It's
Denver,
all over the place.
Denver. Atlanta.
Five stops in California, in fact. So what we're doing is we're getting out amongst the Baylor family, and this is an opportunity for us to discuss what's going on at the university, but then also give you an opportunity to ask some questions as well. So we're going to hit some high points, and in particular we'll talk a lot about our academic strategic plan called Illuminate, and then just some general state of affairs going on at the university. We are recording tonight's event, and the reason we do that is we know not everyone can come to these events. You leave busy lives. We're thankful that you're here, but we put it online. And if you have some friends and want to hear what's going on at Baylor or some fellow alums, you can send that link to them and get a good idea of everything that's green and gold. So thanks for coming tonight. So Dr. Livingstone, you recently celebrated 1 year anniversary.
That's right.
We are at day number 126 right now. So how would
of
you...
Of my second year.
Of the second year.
That's right.
That is correct. So what would what's your return to the university been like? How would you describe the state of affairs?
Yeah. Well, first, let me just thank you all for being here. It's fabulous to be back in Nashville. As Dave said, I was here very early. I'd only been on the job maybe a month or a month and a half and met with a few people. This is a bigger group, and we're thrilled to be back. And there are people in this room that I have known for years and years and years, and then some of you that I've just met. So it's wonderful to be back among some old friends and good friends, and then certainly some new folks as well. And, you know, when I reflect back on my first year, in many ways, that's very reflective of what the year's been like, because I had been at Baylor before. Coming back was fabulous because I had lots of wonderful friends both at Baylor and in the community and in our church community that we're now back a part of. And then because of that, I think it allowed us to have a really productive year because I knew the university. I think I had some pretty good goodwill coming in because I had been there before, and I just have to say we were so warmly received by everybody. I think we hoped that would be the case, but I think the students, the faculty, staff, the Baylor family more broadly welcomed us even more graciously and warmly and openly than we could have imagined. So it's been a really fabulous first year for me and my family.
Yeah, we talk about how Baylor is moving forward and so many exciting things going on at the university. You know, how would you describe the current state of affairs in terms of our student body and other some key metrics that you look at?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things you pay a lot of attention to when you're new at an institution. You see it from a distance, but then when you're there, you can kind of understand what it's like on the ground. And so we clearly pay a lot of attention to the metrics, enrollment, giving, some things like that, because it helps you understand how strong the university is. And I have to say, Baylor, it's just reinforced for me what a strong and resilient institution that we have. And just some of the kind of facts behind that, you know, the freshman class last year, the freshman class this year hit our enrollment targets. This year's class is our most academically qualified class that we have ever had at Baylor. Last year's class was our most diverse ever. This year's class is our second most diverse ever. So our undergraduate student population is now about 36% underrepresented groups. It is the most diverse undergraduate population we have ever had in the history of the university. And you guys from out of state will appreciate this. 40% of this freshman class is from outside of Texas. And so that's a great sign in the sense that it means that we have become a real national university. And I think our admissions folks anticipate that within the next 5 years, we'll be over 50% from outside of Texas. And that just means we're building a wonderful reputation around the country. And our enrollment, our application pool is unbelievably strong. We've got several prospective students in the audience, both for this coming fall, as well as I think we've got a second grader that's going to come in, like, I don't know, 10 years. And we're looking forward to that. So that is really strong, and we feel good about that. We have a premier event coming up, but not this Saturday, but next Saturday. We have over 7,000 students registered for that. So we're going to have a great time welcoming them to campus and encouraging them to be a part of the Baylor family in the years ahead. Endowment and giving has been unbelievably strong. We've had 7 years of over $100 million in giving to the university. And this last year that ended over the summer was the second largest year of giving that we had ever had. It was second only to the year that we raised the money for the McLean Stadium and for the Foster campus. And those were two really big projects. And we didn't really have big projects this last year. And I think the largest gift in that was like a $3-4 million gift. So we didn't even have any huge, you know, seven or eight figure gifts there. So that was good. So we feel really good about where we are, where we're going, and the metrics are strong, and it's a great foundation to build the longer term strategic plan on that we're working on.
And we're moving forward so fast, okay? We don't stop and smell the roses sometimes because we're just moving.
Yeah.
But looking back on that first year as president, what's something that really stands out as a, you know, this moment? You know, I really am the Baylor president, and this is a lot of fun.
You know, we had so many experiences last year that were really special. I think one that kind of stands out for me, the whole week of inauguration in the fall was really very special, and it's a wonderful sort of affirming time as a new president. But we had an event on our front lawn at the president's house. If you've been on campus, the president's house is the only residence on campus, and we are like right in the middle of campus. It used to be on the edge of campus, but the campus grew around it, and we're right in the middle of campus. And so on, I think it was the Tuesday night of inauguration week, we hosted the student population on our campus, or on our front yard, and we had food trucks, and we had student entertainment, and Brad and I took pictures, and I think we planned for like 2,500 students to come, and we had, I don't know, 5,000 students that showed up in our front yard, and we took pictures for 2.5 hours straight with every student that wanted to, and it was just such a wonderful community time for our students, and such a time of them coming together, of us being able to be with them, and I think in many ways it was just very symbolic of kind of how the whole year went. It was really bringing people back together and building community. We're doing that event again. It was so popular last year. We're doing it again next Thursday, I think.
Tuesday.
I better be ready by Tuesday, hadn't I?
17,000 guests in your front yard.
Yeah, we invited 17,000 students today in a note I sent out. So we will have more food trucks this year because we actually ran out of food last year. So we'll make sure there's plenty of food. But it's just, it's been, you know, memorable moments primarily with our students because they're just wonderful young people that are doing such amazing things, not only on our campus, but around the world. And I've heard some of you parents tell stories about your children, both that are students and doing interesting things, but also some of your children that are fairly new alums and the interesting things they're doing. And it makes me very proud to be doing what I'm doing, and it's just a real privilege to work with them.
You know, I always want to ask about your partner, the first gent.
Yes.
He was such a big help. Brad, I wish he was here tonight. Because
I know.
He is just tremendous, and what a great representative of Baylor. So tell us a little bit about the partnership that you guys have and the role that he plays on campus.
Sure. Yeah, Brad is just such an equal partner in the work that we do, and he is having such a good time as the first gentleman of Baylor. I tell him that that is absolutely got to be the best job anybody in the world can have because no one's ever been the first gentleman before, and so no one knows what he's supposed to do. And so he just does what he wants to, and everybody just thinks that that's what he's supposed to do, and it works very well. But he loves spending time with our students. He's a high school teacher, teaches a class on the history of World War II at one of the local schools in town, and so he loves connecting with our veterans on campus, and we have a dog, Boo, spelled B-U, that joined our family last fall. I don't know why you bring a new puppy into the family when you're starting something new like a presidency, but we did, and he loves walking Boo around campus and actually views that as part of his ministry. Sometimes students will look like the weight of the world is on their shoulders, and he walks the dog, and they come up and pet the dog and love on it and have a conversation with Brad, and all of a sudden, you know, life looks a lot better, and so it's a real privilege. And you also, if you don't know, our dog has a Instagram account. So First Pup Boo, and that is how our daughter stays connected. She's at Rice. She's a senior down there, and so she runs the dog's Instagram account, and it's quite entertaining sometimes. So.
Good. Now, you and Brad, both student athletes.
Yes.
And successful basketball careers.
Basketball careers. Yeah. I don't know how successful they were.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot of people trying to recruit you guys for intramurals. I know that much.
Yeah, well, they haven't seen us play in a long time, or they would probably not be making those invitations.
Now, how did your career as a student athlete prepare you to become a university president?
Well, I can certainly say that when I was a student athlete, I never thought that's what it was preparing me to do. I would never have dreamed that that's what I was going to do. But, you know, when I look back on that experience, it was wonderful. I played basketball at Oklahoma State University, as did Brad. And, you know, I think probably one of the things it teaches you most about is resilience. You go through a lot of difficult times. I actually had a knee injury in college that I had to recover from. And, you know, you go through the ups and downs of winning and losing. And you learn resilience. And I will tell you, in the presidency, given some of the things we've gone through as a university, it takes a lot of resiliency to get through the day. And so I think that's been important. You also learn how how to work with people that come from very different backgrounds and experiences, that have very different ways of thinking, and yet you have to figure out how do we come together as a team and work together and accomplish something important. And I think that's what we're trying to do with my leadership team at Baylor as we kind of pull that group together and finish bringing the right set of people to lead the university together. And so I think just thinking about how do teams work and how do you as a team get through the difficult times and stay together to help you move forward in the positive times has been very, very important as well. So there are many aspects of what I went through as a student athlete that I think have been really critical to give me some experiences and sort of build some qualities in me that have been very helpful now.
You know, one of the gifts we always joke about is that you work us so hard that we don't realize we're actually working that hard. You know, it's to cast a vision.
See how long I can get away with that.
You cast a vision and you say, come follow me. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things from a leadership perspective. And one of those visions is encapsulated in Illuminate, right. our strategic mm-hmm. plan. You know, I want to know a little bit about kind of the formations mm-hmm. of that strategic
sure.
plan. And so if you could tell us, you know, how it all came together on such a short amount of time.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, we got a lot accomplished over the last year. And I think part of that was because the university had already developed kind of a vision statement that was called Pro Futuris a number of years ago, but had not really ever fleshed out how do we make that vision a reality. And so what we've done over the last, really from about August of last year through May when the board approved Illuminate, built out an academic strategic plan to make that vision a reality. And what we're really trying to accomplish is really raising Baylor up into kind of the top tier of universities in this country, among some of the top research universities in the country, while strengthening our Christian mission as a university. And we believe that's really important because there are very few, less than a handful of significantly Christian universities in this country that actually are among the top universities that are going to have the most influence in the country. And we believe there needs to be Christian influence in higher education. There needs to be Christian influence in the policy world, in the business world, in other sectors in this country. And we need to raise people up that have been educated in that Christian environment to go into all of those sectors and have influence. And if we are among those top universities in the country, then we have a voice that we wouldn't have otherwise. And so that's really what we've done this last year is build out that academic strategic plan. And I think partly because the foundation had already been built and partly because we'd been through such a difficult time as a university and in some ways had been treading water just a little bit on sort of moving the academic part of the university forward, that there was just a great hunger for a forward path and a way that people could come together and help move the university forward. And so we've kind of built Illuminate around the scripture in Matthew that talks about how we need to be light to the world and we need to share our light with others. And really, there's almost no university in the country that can use that kind of framing to talk about what we're trying to accomplish. And Jason gets the credit and his team for the creativity behind that. But I have to tell you, that has become common language on our campus. Now, within a few months after we launched that campaign in January of last year, people send me notes all the time. Let me tell you how we're shining our light in Waco or in around the world, or here is something our students are doing that's bringing light to the world. And so it's very common language on our campus now, and so it really resonated deeply. And I think as we talk more about how the plan's going to unfold, you'll see why this is going to be such an important thing, not just for Baylor, but for our students, and frankly, we believe for across the country and around the world.
Yeah, that theme of light is tied to our traditions, it's tied to scripture, mm-hmm. it's tied to Pro Futuris, and part of Illuminate has four pillars.
Right.
And learned earlier this week, you know, Independence has four columns, mm-hmm. One of the original buildings on the Baylor campus. So we have four pillars. Mm-hmm. So
I wish we could tell them that we actually did that on purpose, but we didn't. Actually, some of these things just work out well.
I think the Lord's hand is definitely on us on some of this.
Absolutely.
And, so tell us about the four pillars. Uh-huh. But then also kind of these five key initiatives mm-hmm. that we're working on.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we knew we had to do as we sought to become a preeminent Christian research university, that we had to make sure that we had sort of some stakes in the ground, some pillars that we would stay true to no matter what as we built out that strategy. And part of the reason for that was because so many universities that started as Christian universities made a concerted effort, sometimes I think very particular and sometimes just faded over time, to become secular universities over time as they moved down a more significant research path. And so we knew we had to be very diligent to not let that happen. And so we have four pillars that are foundational to the whole plan. One is to ensure that we continue to be an unambiguously Christian university and continue to think about how do we strengthen that aspect of who we are and ensure it's infused across our campus. Second is to continue to find ways to strengthen the transformational undergraduate education that has been core to who the university is for years. And again, sometimes universities sort of lose their way on undergraduate education as they do more research and more graduate education. The third pillar is to grow our research and scholarly footprint, and along with that will be the growth of graduate programs that we believe, if we do it in the right way, will actually strengthen our undergraduate educational experience and give our undergraduate students more kind of deep learning and research types experiences. And then the fourth pillar is to continue to compete at a national level in areas that we call human performance, like arts and athletics. And those are areas where people sometimes know us and see us first and bring their, you know, their eyes to Baylor. And so we want to do those well. We want to do them in ways that are consistent with our mission, but that continue to bring sort of attention to the institution in the right kinds of ways. And so those are kind of foundational to everything we're going to do. And then in a process that we did involving our faculty and kind of campus-wide, we identified five academic theme areas. And these will be areas that will be primary focus for funding related to research, and then probably new program development. They are all interdisciplinary. They are all areas that we have existing strength. They are areas where there is outside funding that's available. And then there are also areas where we think that there are some significant problems or issues in society that our Christian perspective can help solve maybe in different and unique ways compared to other institutions. So I'll hit these just real quickly, but then we can certainly talk about any of them in more detail. But first one is in health. This is a huge part of what we do at Baylor. We have other institutions like Baylor College of Medicine and Baylor Scott & White that share our names. We have a great national reputation in health, and I don't know how many of your children that are in school there are in pre-health or pre-med programs, but about 30% of our freshman class goes into that. So that will be a very important area for us. Data sciences is a second area. Huge opportunities for degree programs, certificate programs, and then lots of research opportunities across almost any field that you can think of. And the data tells us that there is no way the universities in this country are going to produce enough students that have analytical and data analysis kinds of skills to fill the job needs that are going to be out there. So it's a tremendous opportunity. The third area is the material science. And this is really how do we make products better, safer, lighter, to make life better for people. And we have some folks doing great work in our engineering school and in some of our science areas in that. And there's a lot of funding in that area. The fourth area kind of goes to the core of some of our greatest strengths as a university historically, and that is the area of human flourishing, leadership, and ethics. And this really draws in our humanities and social sciences, where we've had some real strength historically. And then it also connects into our School of Social Work, our seminary, our nursing school, and looks at how do we help communities, societies, and individuals to kind of have healthier, more productive lives that really help them to flourish more effectively. And then the fifth area is in Baylor in Latin America. Because of the demographics of Texas, and they're changing dramatically, we actually already have a lot of people on our campus doing significant research on issues like human trafficking, economic development, church development in Latino and Hispanic communities. And so it's an area that if we put some focused attention and build out a strategy, we can actually have a big impact. Right now, we're having little impacts in lots of areas, and nobody even knew that we had this much going on. And we feel like with some focus, we can have a huge impact. So lots of excitement in those areas, and we're building out a plan right now for a structure with our faculty to help us think through how we fund those areas and support them as we go forward. But lots of energy around campus, around these areas, and looking at how do we have a big impact as we go forward.
It would call Illuminate an academic strategic plan, but it truly is a campus-wide effort. But it's not just the academy that's driving the plan. What are some other components to it?
I think one of the important things about this plan for the university is it is a comprehensive plan that links the kind of academic strategy with a facilities plan, with a financial model, and then that financial model includes a significant philanthropic campaign. And all of those have been developed together and integrated in a way that we've never done at Baylor before. We've never had a comprehensive academic strategic plan. And frankly, we've done a lot of mini campaigns for facilities or projects, but this is a comprehensive campaign that will support the entire academic strategic plan. So it is all hands on deck on this one to make it a reality and to make it successful.
Yeah, as we've traveled around the country, we've had a lot of questions about Illuminate, but one that typically always comes up is Baylor going to get too big?
Yeah.
You know, so how are we going to be able to accomplish Illuminate from an enrollment standpoint and the mix of students that we have coming on campus?
Sure. Yeah, there's sometimes when you have a kind of a bold strategy that you're going forward on, it's like, well, how are you going to pay for this and how are you going to make it a reality? And historically, the huge portions of our budget is supported by undergraduate tuition. We have a large undergraduate population of about 14,000 out of our total of 17,000 students. And the tuition of our students has been the primary financial engine for the university. So our commitment in Illuminate is that the things we're going to do in Illuminate to move the institution forward, to grow our research function, will not be done on the backs of undergraduate tuition. We are going to keep our undergraduate enrollment stable at the number that it's at now. It's about 3,400 new students a year, so for a total of about 14,000 undergraduate students. And we're going to do everything we can to keep tuition increases modest so that we're really using that population or that base to really support the ongoing operations to support our undergraduate experience on campus. And then we're going to look at new revenue sources to support Illuminate, and that will include funded research, which we've got to do much, much better at than we have in the past, and we're looking at how we build out an infrastructure to do that. It will include growth in graduate and professional degree programs that actually generate additional revenue that can support your research function. It's how many research universities support a significant part of what they do, and we have not done a lot of that, so there's some opportunity there that's going to be really important. So any growth in enrollment, or the majority of any growth in enrollment, would be in graduate and professional programs in the years ahead. And some of those could be in Waco, but many of them might also be in Houston or Dallas or in some kind of an online or blended format. And then, of course, the campaign will be the other piece of kind of the funding model there. But we don't see significant, we see stable undergraduate enrollment and growth in graduate programs.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give everybody a warning here. Your turn to ask some questions is coming up in just a couple of minutes, okay? So I want you to start thinking about some questions for the president. We've had some hard ones.
We have had, yeah.
So think about some questions, but I'm going to give you some easy ones before we get to our audience questions. So this is like Baylor knowledge or Baylor traditions, things
okay,
like that.
Sure. So some of the people in the audience probably know more about this than I do.
Yeah, so I'll try to be gentle. Okay. So favorite spot on campus?
You know, we loved a lot walk along the Riverwalk on campus down by the river, past the baseball field, and then over to the football stadium. It's fun. We love to bike that trail as well.
Okay. Favorite tradition?
Well, I love the running of the Baylor line. You got to love that. It's a great tradition in college sports. But I also love Christmas on Fifth Street, which isn't really on Fifth Street because it's grown so big. It's kind of just all there in the middle of campus, but it's just a really special time. And I love it because it not only brings the Baylor community together, our students, our faculty and staff, but it actually draws the Waco community. So it's a lot of fun, great time.
Okay, for prospective students, key tips coming to the college
key
at Baylor.
Key tips, okay. You do everything you can to be at orientation and line camp in the summer. Line camp is an amazing experience. We've been doing it for 10 or 12 years now. Fabulous. It starts the experience really strongly for people. So that's important. Run the Baylor line. Do it carefully, but run it. Get to know your faculty. I know that can be a little intimidating when you go off to college, but it's so important to get to know your faculty. Our faculty want to know you. It can be very helpful, particularly if you struggle a little bit early on. I've got two more tips, and then I'll stop because I could go on forever with tips. If you struggle early, ask for help. The worst problem students sometimes have is they wait too long to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We've got tons of people around to do that. And last but not least, just enjoy the college experience. It is one of the most, and those of you, all are parents and all in the room, alums, college years are like the most fabulous years of your life. I mean, I think all of us look back and go, gosh, it'd be great to be back in college sometimes. And so enjoy it and really take advantage of the richness of the experience that you can have on a college campus with all the diversity of activities and people and intellectual experiences. There's just not a better place to be than on a college campus for all the richness that you can get out of that experience.
All right, I will steal one question that I know somebody in the audience is going to ask, okay? So do you know Chip and Joanna Gaines from Fixer Upper?
I do.
Somebody had that, I'm sure.
I do know Chip and Joanna. Brad and I had the privilege of traveling to the Oklahoma State men's basketball game with them last year, and they are fabulous people. They're in person just like they are on TV. They're very down-to-earth and lovely, and Chip's just as crazy in person as he is on TV. And they are such wonderful representatives of Baylor and of Waco and then so much. And can't say enough about the impact that they've had both on the campus and the community. So we love them and wish them great success as they figure out what they're going to do next.
Great ambassadors
they are.
For us.
I've even met Crew. I know. See, I met Crew the other day. Yeah. It was fun.
Crew was at the football game. I did not
meet him at the football game. We were at dinner one night, and Joanna was out with him, so we got to meet him at dinner one night.
You're connected. That's a good
Well,
thing.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
All right, so we have a couple of microphones, and again, we'll have the microphones so we could help with our recording. If you could tell us who your name and if you're an alum or if you're a parent, current student, prospective student, we'll be happy to take those questions and I think we have time, five or six questions.
Got plenty of time.
Good evening, Dr. Livingston.
Thanks for coming tonight.
Sure. Hello, Music City, we welcome you.
I am a parent.
I have a sophomore at Baylor University, and she's a pre-med student.
Mm-hmm.
And the track that she's on, she wanted to get into the medical program after she completes her undergrad degree.
Right. So initially we were told, you basically have to earmark that you want to do the Baylor to Baylor program. And so she's in her second year, and we're just trying to get some color on, is there a partnership between undergrad and moving to the next step in the works, or just some tips on, that can guide us to the next step?
Sure. So, as I said, we have a large population of students that are pre-med, and I don't know if she's involved in, I can't remember the name of the group, but there's a student group that is for students that are pre-med to help them think about and prepare for what they need to do to be ready to apply to medical school and to take the MCAT and everything else. So she needs to make sure that she's connected into that student group on campus if she's not already. And then the other thing, and I think you were talking Baylor to Baylor, it's like Baylor to Baylor College of Medicine program. So we do have a partnership with Baylor College of Medicine. We are independent from Baylor College of Medicine, although most of the world thinks that we're still together because we share a name, which isn't necessarily a bad thing for either one of us. And we actually appoint 25% of the board of Baylor College of Medicine, so we still have a strong connection. Their provost is on our board, I'm on their board. And we do have a pathway for a small number of students to go from Baylor automatically into Baylor College of Medicine. And I don't know all the details of that program, but you can apply for the Baylor to Baylor program. But there are also, we also have relationships with other medical schools around Texas and around the country. And so, she needs to build a relationship with our faculty member that's the advisor for these students to help her understand those various pathways. But we are also working on how we build a deeper and tighter relationship with Baylor College of Medicine over time. We're close to having an MOU done with them that will potentially create new joint degree programs with them. They may or may not be medical degrees, but they might be other kinds of master's degrees, some research opportunities with them, because they have certain skill sets we don't, and we have some skill sets that they don't. So we value deeply that relationship with Baylor College of Medicine and are going to continue to find ways to strengthen it. And we hope through that then provide more opportunities over time for our students to have the opportunity to start at Baylor and then go to programs either at Baylor College of Medicine or the ones that we partner together with them. So, and I will say within the health theme, one area, we have multiple themes within there, but under health, but one of them is how we strengthen our undergraduate kind of a pre-health, pre-med program to continue to ensure that we really have one of the premier undergraduate programs in the country to prepare students to go to any medical school in the country that they want to.
Hi, thanks. Good to meet you. I'm John Billington. I did not go to Baylor, but I was adopted into the Baylor family.
We adopt a lot of people into the Baylor family.
It's been great. I'm parent of an alum, parent of a current student, and parent of a prospective student, maybe. I need to talk to Taylor.
Yep, he can take care of you there.
I need to talk to you. But one question, as you develop sort of the research part of where you want to go strategically, seems like it's a fine line to find top-level research faculty who also have the faith-based capacity. Mm-hmm. And we've been very impressed with our daughters who've gone through. The quality of the professors have just been fantastic.
Good.
They care about the kids. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about your vision on how you attract that specific group of potential faculty.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And the faculty and staff that we hire is sort of probably the most important thing we do as an institution to maintain the integrity of our mission as a Christian institution. And then as we kind of build our research profile, we do have to make sure that the faculty that we're hiring are committed Christians, they care deeply about teaching, and they care a lot about their research. And you know, it's going to put a lot of responsibility on us at Baylor to do a lot of networking out there in the community, and particularly networking at top research universities around the country, because part of what we will do is try to identify students coming out of PhD programs that have those skill sets or that we can help develop those skill sets in. But the other thing that you have to do, and this moves the needle faster, is to go out and find those Christian faculty that are at research institutions but don't have the opportunity at those Christian research universities to really live out their faith in sort of an open way or in an integrated way with their teaching and their research. And the more we build our research profile, the more we're finding that those folks, not only do we go find them, but they start to find us. A very specific example, we just hired a couple from Oregon State in engineering. And they are rock stars. She's especially a rock star in engineering. And they are like on fire Christians. And they were so excited to get to come to a university that cared about their research, would support their research, and would let them, I mean, they're like leading InterVarsity on campus already. Like after the first month on campus, they were leading InterVarsity and doing all kinds of interesting things. And those faculty are out there, you know, they don't just like show up on your doorstep necessarily. You have to go find them. But I absolutely believe they're there. We can find them. We can attract them. And the more we build the support infrastructure that we're doing in Illuminate and through the campaign, the more those folks will start looking for us, and we won't just have to go out and find them. So it's one of the things people say you can't do, but there are a lot of great Christian faculty out there at secular institutions, both private and public, and I am confident we can actually attract those folks to Baylor.
You know, it's going to be a key issue for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Forward because we're having a big transition in our faculty. So it's an issue, but it's also a great opportunity as we look to advance the institution. So about that situation, what are we looking at from a faculty standpoint?
So our data shows us about a third of our tenured faculty are going to retire in the next 10 years. And that is going to be a huge, I mean, several hundred faculty will retire. And so as it relates to the direction we're going with our plan, that gives you tremendous opportunity to hire in new faculty, because sometimes those faculty, because they were hired, many of them at a time when we weren't as research focused, and so that wouldn't necessarily be their skill set. And so it does give us a tremendous opportunity to send off some folks that have been absolutely essential to the growth and direction that we are now, but then to bring in a new set of faculty that have a bit different skill set. And so we're going to have a tremendous opportunity, but it's going to also be a lot of work to do it. One example, this was not a faculty member, but we just, I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of building out my leadership team. And so we're searching for a provost right now, so that's going to be a very critical hire for us, and I have no doubt we're going to find absolutely the right person. But we were also looking for kind of a chief business officer, chief operating officer that runs the financial side of the university, all the operations of the university, and we had some great candidates in the pool, the search firm that was working with us said, I found this person you guys really need to talk to, and ends up being Brett Dalton, who was the executive vice president of finance and operations at Clemson. And somebody in here knows Brett, and it was is on an advisory group at Clemson. And when we first heard about Brett, because Clemson went from being a good public institution to being a research one, top 25 research university while Brett was in the role that he was in. So he's seen it done. And when Brett went to Clemson, he'd been at Clemson, I don't know, 30,
oh, yes.
Like, I don't know, he was practically born in Clemson, South Carolina. But when he heard what we wanted to do at Baylor and that we wanted to be a significant Christian research university, he and his family said, that's where God is calling us, and we want to be there, and we want to help Baylor make that happen. And in fact, he feels like our infrastructure already, even before we've done Illuminate or this next campaign, is actually stronger and a better foundation than they had at Clemson when they started that process. So we know we can find those people, and we know we can attract them to come to Baylor.
We went a long way with that question.
I know, yeah, I went all over that
one. Important,
it's huge. It's really important to us.
All right, so this side of the room, any questions?
I'm Chris Cummins. I'm graduate in 1989, and
good.
I've been here in Nashville for 25 years, so it's difficult to keep up with Baylor a bit out here, so I'm glad you guys are here today. Thank you for taking the time. My question today is, I'm interested in your assessment of the current relationship with the Alumni Association, what the current relationship is, and how you see the Alumni Association playing a role with your Illuminate and as we grow forward.
Yeah. So I think what you're referring to is what was the Baylor Alumni Association. It's now the Baylor Line Foundation, yeah. So we spend a lot of time working with the Baylor Line Foundation. Jason works very closely with their, Craig
Cunningham?
Craig Cunningham, who's their new editor of the magazine. Dave Roselli has worked a lot very closely with Alan Holt, who's their executive director. I spend a lot of time with Jackie Balmore, who's the chair of their board. And then Joel Allison actually used to be on the board. Joel Allison is the chair of our board. So we are really working to kind of bridge some of the history there that was not always very pleasant between the two organizations, and to really try to work together to help move the institution forward and do what's in the best interest of Baylor. And the Baylor Line Foundation does a lot of scholarship fundraising, which is absolutely essential and helpful to us, and we really appreciate the work that they do there. So, you know, there's still a lot of history behind us, and what we really try to focus on is we can't go back and change the history as much as some people wish we could, and you know, wish you could, but you can't. But we can create a different future and a different pathway going forward. And then I think parallel to the work we're doing with the Baylor Line Foundation, we're building out our alumni relations team within the university, and Amy Armstrong, who's not with us on this trip, was hired recently to help us do that, and Amy's going to build relationships with folks at the Baylor Line Foundation as well, so that we're really all trying to work together to move the university forward. Hey, Jan.
My name is Jan Williams. I have an MBA from Baylor. If you round up a little bit, it's 100 years ago.
You're an accountant. I know you can count better than that.
You may want to explain our connection through business schools. Where is the hand camera school in your strategic plan?
Sure. So Jan and I have known each other for a very long time. He was the dean of the business school at University of Tennessee for about 50 of those 100 years. I don't know, something like that. He also has connections to Oklahoma State, where I went to school, and then we worked together as fellow business school deans with AACSB, which is the International Accrediting Body for Business School. So Jan's a dear friend, and I'm so happy that he was able to be here tonight. Well, the business school, you know, and is fabulous, and you've been to their new facility, the Foster. Have you been? Oh, you've got to come back. If you haven't been on campus, you've got to come see the Foster Campus for Business and Innovation. It is a fabulous facility on our campus, and it has been transformational, not just for the business school, but for the campus as a whole. The students on campus all love to go there and study because it's got great community space. And, you know, I think the business school is going to play a very important role in several places. You know, even in the health space, which we sometimes think about being in the Robbins College of Health Sciences or in the College of Arts and Sciences, you know, we've got an MBA in healthcare. We do a lot of healthcare stuff with Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. They're building out some of their health-related fields. The data sciences piece of it will be very connected to what's going on in the business school. That whole area of human flourishing and ethics, a lot of that discussion has involved the business school and the entrepreneurship efforts that they have, as well as some of the social entrepreneurship efforts. The business school has a fabulous Baylor Angel Network, which is funding for businesses. It's not startup, it's kind of next phase funding, and they've had some very successful investments, and we're actually having conversations with the folks, Bob Bruton, who kind of started that, to think about how could we create a model similar to the Baylor Angel Network for kind of venture funding to actually move it down the pipeline as we do more research on campus and have more commercializable research coming out of our various colleges and schools around campus. Could we create a model that actually helps us think about how do we commercialize and build business models around the research that's being done on our campus that could eventually feed into the Baylor Angel Network? So there's multiple ways that the business school is going to be a really critical part of what we do in the plan. And Terry Maness, who's been the dean there for a very long time, I was associate dean under Terry when I was at Baylor previously, and they're on board and really excited about the ways that they can engage in almost all of those initiatives. Some of the Baylor and Latin America stuff is happening in the business school as well with Steve Green and the work he's doing in our international business program area.
I think we have time for one more for some parting words.
Hi, I'm Randy Horick. I graduated from Baylor in 1979, and I was curious about some of the things you said about what it means to be an unabashedly Christian university. My frame of reference is almost 40 years ago. And the Baylor that I knew was what I would call a nurturing Christian environment, mm-hmm. Where we took two classes in Bible and went to chapel. I still have my old New Testament textbook that I refer to from time to time. But I thought of it as a nurturing Christian environment. And I know it's a different world today. Mm-hmm. When I think of intentional Christian universities, I think of, say, a Notre Dame on the one hand or a Liberty on the other end. And I'm just curious, what do you think it means? How do you define, what does it mean to be an unabashedly Christian university as you all see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question because there's a wide array of Christian institutions out there. So I think a couple of things I would say there, particularly as we really work on kind of our research direction. So one of the things we talk about in our vision statement around this is that we believe that all truth is God's truth. We believe that all truth is open to inquiry. And I talk sometimes about how, as a faculty member, what more noble work could you do than through your research to reveal more about God's truth or to reveal more about how that truth can make a difference in the world. And so I think there are many wonderful Christian colleges in this country, but they don't have that piece. Notre Dame does. They're probably the only other Christian university in the country that thinks about research in that way at a very significant level. And so I think that's one piece of what we think about as a Christian research university. I think that in our mission statement, we talk about a caring community. So we're going to prepare men and women for worldwide leadership and service through academic excellence, Christian commitment, and a caring community. So I think the other piece of it, though, is continuing to ensure that as we move forward in terms of our academic rigor, our research, that we really wrap around that this community that helps our students to feel loved and cared for and supported. And we talk a lot about Christian hospitality, and that as a Christian university, we need to really welcome people. We need to make them feel supported and cared for. Sometimes they may not agree with all of our tenets as a Christian university, but we want them to know that we're going to care about them, nurture them, and make them feel a part of our community. So I think there are certainly other aspects of that, but those are kind of two key elements of it that I think are going to be very important to us as we go forward. Did we have one more question back?
I think Bill had one,
okay.
Too.
Go ahead while we're bringing Bill the microphone, because you had your hand up a minute ago. Talk really loud, and I'll repeat the question.
I'm Carmen Mosley, a graduate and a senior, and married to Jeff, who's an alum. In a similar line, as you see research funds out there that are very attractive, how do you maintain your Christian ethical stand
in the view of very attractive big research dollars that you want to come in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons that some institutions have moved away from their Christian roots, because they felt like to maintain that, they might not be eligible for certain funding, right? So one of the things I will say is, because we've used as one of our pillars our Christian commitment, I think that what that means is that if there was something about some funding or some opportunity that somehow meant we had to water down our connection to our Christian mission, we would have to be willing to say, you know, that's not as important to us as our Christian mission. And we will find some other way to do that particular project or go in that particular direction. But I said the other piece of that is we spent a lot of time in Austin and in Washington, D.C., educating our legislators, and it's probably a bigger challenge in D.C. than it is in Austin, around issues of religious liberty and religious freedom, and that as a religiously affiliated institution, we really need to have the freedom to make strategic decisions for our institution that are true to our mission as a religious institution. And so we put a tremendous amount of effort into really working with our legislators to make sure that we continue to have that freedom, whether it's in bills that are passed around funding, whether it's in accreditation guidelines that are out there. There's any number of places where that can be an issue for us. So so we're trying to be very smart and strategic about how we try to influence the direction government goes on some of these things, but then also making sure that we really stay true to who we are as we make choices about some of the things we do or don't do.
All right, Bill, you open this up in prayer,
you
and you're going to end this tonight. So,
well, I'd just like to say this. My first experience of paying attention to Baylor was when my brother, who's also a Baylor grad, told me about the tie with the University of Texas in 1941 at Muni Stadium in Waco, Texas, and they were number one in the nation. And so we've been around a while. I don't have a question, but I do have a word of appreciation. We're thankful that the Baylor of today is as fine as the Baylor of the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Thanks to leadership like folk like you, we are supportive of you. We've been on the mountaintop with Baylor. We've also been in the valley with Baylor. And we're just grateful that you folks have the helm and you have our prayers, our support, and our appreciation. And I just want you to hear that.
Thank you, Bill. That means a lot. Really appreciate that. Thank you all very much.
So any parting words before we leave tonight?
Well, it's an exciting time to be at Baylor, and we just hope all of you will just join hands with us and come alongside as we really move the institution forward to an even better and more significant future and build on the great work that's already been done there over the last, 173 years. So anyway, it's great to have you all with us this evening.
Yes. Thank you all very much. One final hand for our president.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Feel free to mingle. I think Dr. Livingstone will be here for a while, and also our staff. You're welcome to stay a little bit. And we thank you for flinging the green and gold here in Nashville. So y'all have a good evening.